Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Joe Nickel, Madhouse Productions, Brian. Choreographer. Yep. How's that working out?
It's a hard business, but it's what we want. It's what I want to do.
You are a dancing man.
I try.
Keeping pretty busy.
Yeah. It's a busy season coming up. Yeah.
How would you describe, as a choreographer, you know, your style? Because, you know, my mind goes back to like MGM in the 1940s, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. It's changed a lot since then.
Just a bit. Yeah. You know, but those are they're the kings and queens of the industry still. They're still respected. You know, the style of Madhouse Productions and what I've liked to do and what my background comes from is very commercial dance based. It's very production. It has a live show. Regardless of what we do is on film or on stage, it has a very in-your-face, right in front of you style to it.
Entertainment.
Yeah, lots of energy.
But there's still got to be art in that style, I would think.
Yeah.
So how do you approach putting together a new piece?
I sit down. I work with a friend of mine, Chad Robert, and we sit around and we pick at some concepts, and you know, that brainstorming session, a lot of things can be created from it. You know, we go from there. We see some stuff we like. We get inspired by other things happening in the city, and see what happens.
This is one of those areas where I just have no natural talent. You know, I couldn't even imagine coming up with movements. You know, I think probably the best dance work I ever did on a dance floor was crossing from one end to it to another when I was tipsy, you know, and I may have even gotten applause. So, I mean, do you kind of just like look in a mirror and be like, ooh, that looks good? You
know? I look great doing that.
Yeah, I mean, how do you come up with new things, you know?
It's funny to me because people say to me all the time, oh, I cannot dance. And I say, you're wrong. Everybody can dance, but not everybody can dance well, mm-hmm. right?
I will vouch for that.
I don't know. I mean, it's everyone. We all have our passion in our art. And, you know, we're in a great dance studio now. And there's mirrors in the dance studio for a reason. So you can see what you look like. I think all good artists, you have to see what you're not good at in order to discover what you're good at. Hmm.
Very good. So how would you then, I mean, your style is, you described your style a little bit as commercial. I mean, is that a good term for what you would consider your style to be?
I think it's fun for an audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're putting on and producing, directing shows like I am, the first thing is, what's my audience gonna like? I want to sell tickets. I want to pack the house. And I think that if the good thing about commercial dance is that it's always very high energy. It's fast paced, moving, the style that I do. So I think people that even aren't into dance and they don't know a lot about dance still can come and enjoy it.
And feel something from it. Mm-hmm. So what then is your, when you're putting together a piece, what do you want your audience to feel? What do you want them to walk away with?
I want them to realize, doing shows here in Pittsburgh, I want them to realize that there is a lot of talent here in Pittsburgh and that they go, wow, I took a risk to come out to this show and I'm going to do this again, because there's a million great companies out there putting on fantastic shows.
Now, would you consider your shows risky?
They have been now, yeah. And I've had some compliments and some critiques to say, we liked it when it went a little risque.
Mm. Now, is that clothing or suggestive movements?
It's a great equation of all that.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you is that a necessary element in commercial dance? Is that sort of risque, burlesque sort of?
I think it helps. Mm-hmm. I mean, sex sells to a degree, but there's a fine line between a very risque act on stage, but still having class behind it. And I think all of our acts in this upcoming show that we're working on is risque. I've added some risky business in there, but it's definitely classy. It's definitely still...
Well, that's kind of, as far as I understand it, the essence of the art of burlesque.
Right.
You know, I think if folks who don't really understand what that term means think it's just like, well, let's take our tops off, you know.
Yeah.
But it's actually the art of the conceal, never the reveal.
Exactly.
You know, and how you go up to that line, but don't cross it. And mm-hmm. that really is an art.
Well, and it gets people wanting more.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
That's the selling
piece.
You
got it.
And we do that. And this time we brought on... I have two fantastic performers, and they've studied, and their art is burlesque. It's an art. You'll see it, and you'll say, that's an art form. That is a style of an art form. It's cool.
I live for whenever I can see a production done in the style of the old-time burlesque shows,
mm-hmm.
which weren't just a woman up there with big fans, covering herself. There were, body comedians. There were jugglers. I mean, it was a production. And that kind of seems a little bit like these shows that Madhouse is producing. In fact, it's called Burlesque, isn't it?
Burlesque.
Tell me a little bit about Burlesque.
There's no typo.
Oh, yeah, right,
Burlesque.
Right. Oh, I got it. Are there people that don't get that?
I've had people say, I think you spelled it wrong.
Are they serious? They're not from Pittsburgh.
I have not.
That's shameful. Burlesque. I thought that was very clever. In fact, if you hadn't have taken that, we might have named this show Burlesque.
Mm.
It beat you to it. I know.
Sorry.
Congrats. No, it's very clever.
You have a great show.
We get it. We get it.
Yeah, so the reason we named it that is that, I've came across and have met, since been being back in Pittsburgh, some great entertainers and performers, singers, dancers, drag queens, comedians, real burlesque performers, magicians, and I've met them probably from seeing them on stage doing other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if I can bring an interesting group of people, put together an hour-long show, and all those things I just named are all parts of the old-school burlesque shows that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
There was always singing, there was dancing, there was acting, there was comedy, there was magic, there was the reveal, there was all that good stuff. So I said, let's put it together in a show. And I decided to deconstruct it where there's sections of all those throughout the
mm-hmm.
show. It moves very fast-paced, and it all works out. It gives you a little bit of everything.
And I'd say, I mean, you're clearly then kind of director and producer of this, too.
I am, yeah.
I mean, you're really a showman putting together a great night of entertainment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all of those things as you listed there, I don't know how you're going to fit them into 1 hour. But I think you got enough for three, at least.
It works, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you feel is the hallmark of a good dancer? What, when you see a dancer, what, strikes you as that's talent?
I think what's for live theater, the performance value of a dancer is great. Myself, being trained in dance, I always look at the technical, the technique of a dancer. So I'm looking at their feet. I'm looking at the way that if they've what training they've had.
Mm.
That's almost my judgment. Like anyone who's an artist and they're in the category that they're an artist in, for dance, I might look at that. But the other 98% of the audience is looking at, they're looking at the waist up, they're looking at the performance and the engagement in a crowd, in the audience.
Do you feel that my lack of shame might make up a little bit for my lack of talent?
If it's attractive, if your lack of shame makes the audience feel good somehow or engaged, I think they're going to enjoy
it. All right. Find me a role in your next show there. Where did your career in dance start? How did you begin?
Trained here in Pittsburgh and went off and started the audition scene and picked up a gig working for a cruise line. Got to get paid, see the world, and do what I love. So I did that for...
How was that?
It's like living in a bubble
in
the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, and then cruise ships are kind of getting a bad rap these days, about.
There's been some issues, but there's issues everywhere.
Yeah.
I guess. But it's a fun, it's a great experience. You get to meet performers from all over the world, and it got me to where I am now, and came back to Pittsburgh and said, let's make something happen here in the dance scene.
So do you feel it was really the artists that you met that inspired you to put something together like Burlesque?
Yeah, there's that passion and that desire for when you meet really good talent, you just want to work with everybody.
Yeah.
You do. You're like, I want to be on stage with all of you.
That's kind of why I do this show, because I want to sit down and have a drink with everybody, you know? So I get it. I get it. That's I'm there with
all
you.
Right.
So tell me about some of the standout performers that you have worked with in the show, because Burlesque, now what's coming up in September is going to be the third installment of it.
Right.
So who are some of your headliners?
Yeah, we've been calling it a series, so I keep the same platform, but I'm always intermixing some entertainers and performers that are have a nice following and that are very talented in the city. Mm. Some of them, it's their first time on stage, but most of them are seasoned enough that they're doing shows elsewhere. I've worked and concepted this idea with the First Lady of Drag, who is Kiara Darshell. She's phenomenal. Her name's out there in every scene in Pittsburgh. She's always putting on shows, and she's kind of been the big mama in the drag community. And she's great. So she hosts the show. She's fantastic and has a nice classy drag act. And then I've brought on my first show is the comedian author Mike Bazzelli. He was he did the comedy in my first show, and people love him so much, I brought him back to now co-host with Kiara.
And he's a contributor on Bird Vermont.
Yes, he's
so we'll have to see him.
It's that 1 degree away in Pittsburgh.
Always.
Yeah. And so I'm glad to have him, which was great. And Kiara Darshell, it's not easy for her to share the stage with somebody, but she said, Mike and I would be great. It's going to be an interesting duo.
That is, I think, goes with the territory when you are you are the First Lady of Drag.
Yeah.
You know? Now, who gave her that title?
Maybe she needs to come on the show and you can pull it out.
I would love to interview her. I really would. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of respect for drag queens. And of course, now they have come so much into the mainstream with like things like RuPaul's Drag Race has really seen it. Those girls work.
They're not just dressing up and walking around on stage. There's some talent there.
To get those outfits and the makeup and the hair and everything, that's a huge talent, you know? It makes total sense that there's now a competitive reality TV show for it, as there is for dance. Do you get around to watching any of these?
There's a few of them,
These dance show, like Dancing with the Stars, and I use the term loosely.
I'll watch clips, people, but I don't watch it religiously. I don't watch it every week. Mm. Within the dance community, people will send me clips like, oh, you've got to watch this dance, you'd like it. And I'll watch and get inspired by choreography on those shows, but I don't sit down and, I shouldn't say that, but I don't sit down and watch it.
Oh, hey, that's all right. You know, I barely get to TV myself. But what do you feel really does inspire your work?
It's the other talent in the city, or anywhere, actually. Mm. I mean, everything we watch just, hard work, and anyone that has passion in any of these arts is definitely inspiring to put something together. Because I think when we have talent, we have passion, and if we put that on stage, and we need to put it in front of audiences way more than we're already doing.
Mm. Yeah. For a city this size, there seems to be a lot of dance happening.
Yeah.
People are moving in Pittsburgh.
It's moving. And as we talked about, those TV shows that were on, either the drag TV shows for Drag Race or all the So You Think You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars, all those shows are promoting dance and promoting drag and promoting other entertainment that we never really saw on TV too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. So I think it gets the audience here in Pittsburgh to come out the shows more. And that was kind of the struggle. There is a great art community in Pittsburgh, but we need to get the people that don't always go see theater and don't always go see dance shows and don't always go see things to go, oh, wow, this exists in my city.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go out and see it, and that there are fun shows like the one that I'm working on.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of everything, something for everyone. And that, so what you're putting together, I think, is a great night of entertainment where you see, several different performances of many kinds. One thing we haven't seen in a television show is dancing with drag queens. I think that might be interesting. Pictured all in heels, would be something.
Ratings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, is your troupe primarily women, men, is a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. It's interesting that when Madhouse started here in Pittsburgh, I was performing in different clubs and nightclubs here, and it was just dancing. And that's when I merged with drag queens, is I would take some fantastically performing drag queens in the city of Pittsburgh and put backup dancers with them. And that's actually how this started working, and it started turning into production shows of performing drag queens with backup dancers. Then I added in a singer or two, and the show was kind of like a variety show too, in a way. And it started working out, and audiences were kind of like, oh, this is really cool. This is different. We didn't have this entertainment in Pittsburgh night scene. And then I kind of merged and started not doing the nightclubs as much, and I'm lucky enough to be down at the Cabaret Theater and other theaters here in Pittsburgh.
Now, the Burlesque is produced by your company, Madhouse Productions. How would you describe the identity of Madhouse?
We're trying to bring a high-energy entertainment to the theater scene in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, with a name like Madhouse, I would have to assume it's not sedate.
It's not,
You're not doing like...
The symphony's great, but it's a 180 from the symphony.
Right. So let's talk about the musical element. You know, what... Because if you've got folks dancing, I'm supposing, they're grooving to some beat or another.
Yeah.
You know, how do you choose your music?
We take songs that are popular and that are known. And I've done everything in my shows, from having live musicians who I've worked with before, to having tracks also going on. But we pick kind of an overall theme for each show. It's a very loose theme that we use. And this one is more of the earlier decades. I'm going back to the years of Burlesque, and kind of that pinup girl poster feel, the girl with the mustache, mm-hmm. That kind of good old stuff is kind of the feel of this show. But it's a very loose theme. I still give the other artists and the comedians and the drag performers and burlesque performers to still have their creativity involved. I don't want to nail them down to a theme.
Yeah. Did you see that Christina Aguilera movie with Cher, Burlesque?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Yeah, it's been an influence for us. We've actually used some of the songs in that soundtrack.
Oh, yeah?
And previous shows. We're not for this one, but previous shows we've used it, yeah.
That movie, I could just watch the dance numbers, the music numbers.
They're
and
great.
Take out everything else. And Cher, I mean, my God. But her job, you know how Cher kind of ran the place, and she you know, kind of emceed, and she was like in like an opening number. That, regardless of what anybody has ever heard me say in my life, that is my dream job.
Yeah, that's what Pittsburgh is missing, is a club like that.
If I had a million.
Same here.
You know?
If I had a half million, then you only need a half million now.
Oh, really?
And we could open up a place like that, and you could have her job.
I would love, you know, because there's so many old, you know, buildings like steel factories and things that, you know, and they're renovating them into lofts and things. Just give me one that's big enough to have a burlesque theater, classy,
yeah.
you know, have high-end cocktails, and you go in and there's always something like that going on. Huge production value. Like, can we do this? We need an investor,
I think
is what we need.
Right. Yeah. We'll find one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. We got to keep in touch about that. What would we call it?
Oh, this could take all day. That's
the
a good question.
House. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Well, this is something that could happen. And it should happen. Pittsburgh's missing that. The talent's here, and the audiences are ready for it. It just needs to happen.
It's rare to find any kind of place like that now. I mean, back in the 30s and 40s, you know, they had all those clubs, you know, where there would always be live bands, you know, swing bands and things. Mm-hmm. I think now it's tough to pay people, you know, to have a production like that going,
yeah,
and yet be putting butts in the seats every night, you know, and then you get into the food and beverage side of it too. But it would be great for something like that to come back.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's an expensive operation. So it would have to be done very well, which means you and I would have to be in charge of it. That's just a no-brainer.
Right.
Let's start looking for places to renovate. And
yeah. I agree. You know. I think that's kind of the end goal of all this is let's put a show together, because I think eventually, Brian, someone's going to be sitting in our audience that is an investor, right? That's the goal. When they see this show that we're working on, that I'm putting together with fantastic performers, and they go, wow, I wish I had a bar or a restaurant. This show needs to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, might hopefully someone... investors come to the show,
well,
and that triggers that.
And
that would be cool.
As you said, in a city like Pittsburgh, you're never going to run out of that talent to feature.
Right.
You know? Because, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask you coming to sit down is, you know, what makes Pittsburgh a great location for this? But I think you've answered it. It's the talent that's here.
Oh, yeah. It's a great pool of talent, and the talent is dying for more stages to perform on.
Wow.
I think that's what's, you know.
And there's a lot already in Pittsburgh, you know, but still, you know, we can house more. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think is, you know, how do you see Pittsburgh as a style? I mean, does it, if you had to describe this city to somebody that has never been here, knows nothing about it, what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think when, and this probably happens to a lot of people, when I have visitors come in from other cities and visit Pittsburgh, they go, wow, I didn't know it was this great. This is a great city. And I'm like, where did you get your perception of what Pittsburgh was? But I think in the past half a decade, Pittsburgh is on a very quick uptick and being on great top 10 lists, mm-hmm. and places to visit, places to move, places to live, places to work, the up and coming arts community is ever so growing here. So I think we're lucky. I think it's becoming young and fun, but still has the gravitas of the old culture here in the city.
That's a pretty cool hat. I'm not a hat person. I'm kind of jealous by that.
It's easier for me to toss a hat.
I can never find one that looks right on me. I mean, a ball cap if I'm cutting the grass or something. Yeah. But I love hats. I will walk across a busy street to compliment a woman in a large hat.
Oh yeah,
because I appreciate them so much. But I just can't. I can't wear them. They just don't work. I don't know if it's the shape of my face or what. But
yeah, so. My grandfather wore hats a lot. He was like such a sharp dresser. Mm. And I said, I don't know if the hat helps or doesn't help, but I said, he wears hats and he's sharp looking. So I'm upset.
Inspiration came from there as well. Yeah. Are there choreographers that inspire you?
Yeah. There's all kinds of great choreographers that I've seen or have been lucky enough to take class from that do inspire me. And it's funny because I think some of my choreographers that have inspired me are not the style of dance that I do at all, that I teach. But the great Twyla Tharp is a great choreographer, and how her brain works inspires me, and how she puts together shows and how she works on a show. Like every time she has a project, it's such an interesting process for her. Mm. So I've tried to adapt some of those qualities that have clearly worked for her. Mia Michaels is a great contemporary modern choreographer. She put together, she's Celine Dion's huge show in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And her show, I could watch it over and over and over again. Just like you said, the movie Burlesque, you could watch over and over again, which I can as well. Or you watched all the dance numbers. Celine Dion, I don't think, needs 50 backup dancers, but they took a Cirque Soleil twist with 50 backup dancers choreographed by one of the best modern choreographers and it's a killer show. So yeah.
Yeah. Now Cirque du Soleil, that's another thing. My God, I mean the physicality that's involved in something like that, and the physicality that's involved in what you do. I mean, you guys must get a pretty good workout on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. If we rehearsed every day, I'd be in. We'd all be superstar athletes, and we are.
So what's next for Madhouse? What's coming up in the future? I mean, aside from the September production.
Yeah, I've geared a lot of our energy and focus into these Burlesque shows. I think they've, out of all the shows we've kind of worked on, the crowds loved it. I mean, we had standing room only, sold out our first show. We've been lucky, and our second show was very close to that same size crowd. And I anticipate this third one to be a nice crowd as well. And it's just been a fun experience. I think everyone that's been in the cast that comes to the shows, there's a fun energy and vibe that from start to finish. And it's been so enjoyable that this show I've been concentrating on. So we're doing about two a year, and I think I'm going to uptick that and try to get three or four a year out of it, maybe do them seasonally. So that's kind of the future of this next up-and-coming season.
Sounds good. I imagine that there's a lot of specificity, when you're, trying to get everybody to kind of maybe look the same, move. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking, gosh, if it was me, I could maybe mess up, but then kind of make it look like I'm playing at it. I mean, to what degree does that specificity play into, when you're crafting something like this?
Yeah, the dancers and singers and performers that I work with are good at their talent. And I've never had a fear that anyone was going to mess up, or if they messed up on stage or didn't hit a certain mark, their performance quality is so good that an audience member would never notice, I think that's...
Well, I'm going to be watching really, really closely then.
I'm telling you.
Now, do you yourself get out and dance?
Yeah, I'm going to... I never liked to wear all those hats. I didn't want to wear... I've actually given advice. I'm going to be a hypocrite. I've given the advice to people, hey, if you're directing the show, just direct it. If you're choreographing the show, just choreograph it. Don't choreograph a show and put yourself front and center and be right on stage the whole time. Showcase to other people you're working with. But I've also realized that 90% of my performance on stage was always outside of this country, and all of my friends and family here in America and in Pittsburgh never really got to see me dance professionally. Like, someone had to tell me that. They said, "Oh, are you in your next show?" I said, "No, I'm choreographing it and I'm putting it together. It's enough work." And they said, "Well, we've really never seen you on stage before." So I do make an appearance. I try to make one appearance or so in each show so I can please mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa.
That's what it's about.
Shake it on stage, but then I try to, you know, it's a busy show and I need to be backstage a lot. So try not to wear too many hats.
Yep, that's probably a good plan. But, well, we'll look forward to seeing you and the rest of your cast and company in Burlesque coming up in September. The date is?
September 13th, a Saturday. Okay.
And that's down at the CLO Cabaret.
Correct.
Downtown. A great space, plenty of things to do before and after. Go out, have a drink, have dinner beforehand, and see a great show.
Good.
So all the best with that. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Cheers to Madhouse.
Definitely.
And to Burlesque. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Burgvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Burgvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.burgvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.